This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Thunder Rosa and I talk all about deathmatch wrestling. That's right, deathmatch wrestling. We may educate you, and for those who are fans, I think you're going to really love this episode. We talk to the king of deathmatch wrestling, GCW champion Nick Gage, on the episode. Plus, Damian Abraham and Kevin Gill, the voice of GCW. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. A man of many talents, Thunder, okay? Now, he may not believe that, but you know what? Excuse the pun, but I believe that's fucked up. And that is vocalist, and of course, vocalist for the band, Fucked Up, and podcast host for the Turned Out a Punk podcast. And of course, we've talked to him a lot about his series that was on Vice, The Wrestlers, the one and only Damian Abraham. Damian, how are you?
An honor to be back. Thank you very much for having me. And Thunder Rosa, you were actually one of the first wrestlers I ever interviewed for when I was at Vice.
Oh, it was this a live interview that we did?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a live interview. It was backstage at the very first, or it was actually at the first H2O show.
H2O
yes.
Show. Yeah.
That's right.
6 or 7 years ago. I remember.
That's right.
You were covering for that documentary you did.
Yeah, it was the first, like, I tried for years to get Vice to make wrestling content, which is hilarious given how much stuff they do about wrestling now, but they hated wrestling at the time, and so I finally convinced them to let me do it, and so you were the very first person I got to interview for that, so thank you very much for doing that, and watching
welcome.
You. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're welcome. I remember seeing the little clip on the documentary, because I watched the documentary not too long ago, and I was like, oh, I'm there. Yeah, that was quite a small world.
Yeah, it is a very small world. And watching your ascent as a fan has been incredible. So it's great to reconnect with you. Thank you for having me back, Dave. It's a thrill to be here.
Yeah, and you were talking about the series that you had on Vice. And I believe the series, The Wrestlers, is available now on Tubi and on Hulu as well and Vice. And I thought it was a groundbreaking series. And you're right. It's amazing at that time. That was the first kind of pro wrestling content. And then now it's kind of known for its pro wrestling content, which is crazy. So you were kind of breaking ground there for that time. But that series was incredible. One episode in particular, I go back time and time again and watch. And that is the episode that you had on deathmatch wrestling. When Thunder came up with the idea this morning to talk about deathmatch wrestling, I thought you were the perfect person to reach out to. Because I thought that episode that you did and to sit down with Onita and talk about deathmatch wrestling, and even here in the States, like, what made you want to do that episode and talk about the influence, even for you as a punk artist, of deathmatch wrestling?
I like was a fan of tape trading, and I had friends that were huge tape traders. So I would see a lot of wrestling stuff. And at the time, my exposure to wrestling in Canada was primarily WWF. You know, we had Raw. We didn't even really get WCW until kind of midway through the Monday Night Wars. So I wasn't really exposed to ECW until my friends started showing me these tapes, and kind of seeing this level of brutality in wrestling really blurred the line for me. Like, I thought I understood what wrestling was, and then seeing deathmatch wrestling, I didn't know what to make of it at first, because it was so violent. And the closest thing I could compare it to at the time, because I was working at a really cool kind of underground video store, was performance art tapes, like these sort of extreme cinema of transgression, these performance art tapes where people were literally using their bodies. And I know every wrestler uses their body for their art, but these people were literally shedding blood for their art. And there's a history of that in punk music too. Like Iggy Pop used to Let It Bleed on stage. Dog from the Vile Tones used to bleed on stage. I used to bleed on stage. Like, I would watch these wrestling tapes, and I would, at the time, at first, I would hit myself in the head with the microphone, and I would get a little trickle of blood. And I was watching these wrestling tapes with this friend of mine, and I was like watching these sheets, you know, like Flair with the Crimson Mask, and he kind of explained to me a little bit more about how the art worked. And from there, I kind of incorporated that into what we were doing on stage. And it's funny, we played on MTV one time, and I went down and I got an incredible mask going. And to this day, people still think it was part of the set falling and hitting me in the head. But no, it was my own doing. When I was trying to get Vice to make wrestling content, I knew that deathmatch wrestling was probably going to be the thing that opened their eyes to making wrestling content because it's so visceral. And we made that Tournament of Death documentary after making a lot of cannabis documentaries. It seems like rough work trying to make a cannabis documentary, I know, but we made a bunch of cannabis documentaries, convinced them to do the deathmatch wrestling documentary, and it did so well. From there, they kind of greenlit the Wrestlers TV series, and I didn't even want to do a deathmatch episode. It was actually Jeff and Nathan, who were the directors of the series, that were obsessed with deathmatch wrestling after watching the Tournament of Death documentary, and were like, no, we got to do a deathmatch wrestling episode. And they're like, what would be your dream deathmatch wrestling episode? And so I came up with, I'm like, well, Jun Kasai, Danny Havoc, we got to talk to Onita. You know, I put all the, like, people that I thought would never be in a documentary together. And just kind of came up with this list. Terry Funk was also on the list, but he was having some health problems at the time, so couldn't actually be in it. And we just made it. They made it happen. And here I was as a fan, just going along and meeting, you know, Onita, meeting Jun Kasai, meeting his family, and kind of really putting together a better picture of what this is. This sort of like much maligned, like I Thunder Rosa, you're probably one of the few people that I know that's I've met in televised wrestling that kind of has a respect for it. Like, it's funny, Chris Jericho doing that death match. I remember talking to Chris about death match wrestling and him being like completely dismissive of it. This is years ago, but it's amazing how people have started to kind of come around to it now.
Why do you think people came around to it?
It really does blur the line. Like, you think you understand what professional wrestling is as a fan. And you, of course, as a fan, you can only understand so much of what professional wrestling is. I understand that. But, you know, you think you have a grasp on what this is. And then the first time you see deathmatch wrestling, like anytime I show anyone deathmatch wrestling, they're like, how do they hide the blood packs? I'm like, there's no blood packs, you know, or like, how are they, is it sugar glass in the light bulb tubes? Or do they clean out the stuff, like the chemicals inside the fluorescent light bulb before they hit each other with them? And it's like, absolutely not. Like, a lot of times this is done on no budget. Like in the deathmatch wrestling episode for Danny Havoc's last match, they actually took apart someone's glass doors to get the panes of glass to use.
What?
Yeah. DJ Hyde had... it depends who you believe story on this one, but the glass that Danny requested was not ordered. So the prop guy for CZW went home to his house and uninstalled his glass sliding doors, brought him back to the show. And then, excuse me, as a team, we worked together to free the glass from the doors and got two panes of glass from it.
Oh my god,
that is so dangerous.
Like, so dangerous.
Guys, you don't understand. Like, there's props, right? Especially when you're using glass. And even that glass is dangerous because it can cut your flesh.
So, we're educating our audience. So the match I brought up, which kind of like to me is like the OG matches, Onita and Terry Funk and the Exploding Barbed Wire Death Match from FMW. Is that the match you would most likely recommend to people who are just kind of like introducing themselves to deathmatch wrestling?
Yeah, I think that movie's like that match is like watching Die Hard. You know, like it just feels like an action movie, and it feels so great. I think another one for people that are coming from a more strong style fandom and a fandom of more sort of like hard hitting pro wrestling. That Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe one match, like the first one they did, is one. It's a death match meets a shoot fight. Like, there's just something really incredible about that wrestling match. There's just unbelievable matches that have happened in FMW. Like, there's Hayabusa, some of Hayabusa stuff where it's kind of like a hybrid of high flyer stuff and deathmatch stuff, or, as you know, anything with Onita, anything where Onita is, because he's like, I don't know, he's like Bruce Willis to me. Like, I love his movies. He's great in the movies that he did too.
Yeah, you got to, in that documentary, the one on the series The Wrestlers, you got to go and meet with and speak with Onita, and then he actually gave you the gift of the barbed wire bat. Like, what was that interaction like for you?
Oh, no, he didn't give it to me. I bought the bat, and then I brought it to him again and signed. I didn't buy it off him. No, I went to there's that Totokan, which is like, it's the greatest store on earth. It's like a wrestling museum, but you can buy anything. They had the great Muta's entrance gear, like the one that looks like the Star Wars red entrance gear. They had that. It was 10 grand, but they had it.
Is this in Tokyo?
In Tokyo, yeah.
Is that the one by Cork and Hall?
Yeah, exactly. Right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the greatest place.
I've been there.
I went there and they had the bat. And so I talked to the production crew and they were like, well, you know, you do have a wardrobe budget. And I'm like, yeah. So I went back and we bought the bat and then I brought it to Onita to get him to sign it. But that was the second time I met him. The first time I met him, we brought him to an Ice Ribbon show. And at Cordigan Hall, and I met him downstairs, and we're waiting for him to show up. And so he shows up, and he gets out of the car, and he's got the whitest Nikes on I've ever seen in my life, tight blue jeans, a Supreme hooded sweatshirt, the leather jacket, and I'm just like, this is the coolest dude I've ever seen in my life. And then we walked up through Cordigan Hall, and he stopped me by a barbed wire board, and he's like, hey, come here. I invented this. And I'm like, yeah, I know, which is debatable. I think Terry Funk Sr. might, Dory Funk Sr. might take some umbrage with that as well. But it was amazing getting to hang out with him, getting to talk to him. And when he said that to him, FMW was the punk rock of pro wrestling, that just connected all my dots. You know, like seeing that kind of come together as a picture for me, I was like, absolutely, I understand that. And that's how I explain it to people I know, especially wrestlers I know that don't like it, when they're like, oh, I don't like it, it's not like what I do. And I'm like, yeah, but what you do, you're like Iron Maiden. There's got to be room in this world for the Black Flags or the Infests or these other bands that are taking it to a different place. Like, it's all amazing.
I always say this to my brother when I try to describe it, because he doesn't quite understand wrestling, but he understands music. I always say WWE is Bon Jovi, and like deathmatch wrestling is like Fear. Like that's
you know what? It's so funny because you guys are like being like really mild. I kind of like relate it to like having regular sex and then having kink. You know,
kinky.
Very true.
Well, you know, Thunder's mind goes that way.
Not everybody's into it. Damien. You know what I'm saying?
I think different strokes for different folks is what it comes down to.
Some matches have foreign objects. Damien, Damien, of course, the Turned Out a Punk podcast, and of course, his band Fucked Up. Damien, thank you so much for the time, brother.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick's Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog. Not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
We're joined by your GCW champion, the king of deathmatch wrestling himself, Mr. Nick Gage. Nick, how are you this morning? Thanks for joining
us. I'm doing great, man. First off, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor. I want to give a shout out to Thunder Rosa. Yes, I have to. I'm so proud of you, Thunder. You know, me and you, we've done some shows together and we travel them roads.
Yes.
And for you to have what you're doing right now, man, I'm so proud of you. And I just wanted to say that to you.
Thank you, man. It means it. You know, every time I will say that to you guys, like every time I'm in the back and Nick gets in the back, he's always showing me so much respect. And sometimes when I'm really low and I remember like people like you, Nick, and like some of the veterans, that are very respectful to me, it means a lot because I gained your guys' respect. And that is, to me, respect is everything. Thank you.
Absolutely. Likewise. I think that's why we get along so well.
Yes.
Well, and Nick, we've been talking a lot about deathmatch
wrestling. It's an honor to be on Busted Open Radio again.
Dude, thank you.
Second time being on Busted Open Radio, right?
Yep, it's the second time we've had you on. And we're honored to have you on because, you know, we're talking about deathmatch wrestling this morning. And listen, obviously this is SiriusXM. It's a mainstream platform. Not a lot of people, you know about deathmatch wrestling or watch deathmatch mm-hmm. wrestling. But I thought, Thunder and I thought it was important to talk about it this morning because it's one thing not to know about it. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate the public. But I think the biggest reason we wanted to talk about it this morning is because I feel like there's a lack of respect for this style of wrestling. It is great storytelling. It is great athleticism. It is skilled. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the people that you do see do it are accomplished wrestlers that choose to do this style. Nick, do you feel like this style of wrestling is disrespected?
I feel like it's disrespected by people that don't know what it is or have not been to a show live, like a GCW show that's top-notch deathmatch wrestlers. You know, they see clips online of, you know, some shitty-ass deathmatch wrestlers that don't know how to wrestle for real. They just know how to fall on some shit, and it looks like garbage, and that's the perception they get. Me? I've been in this game 23 years. I've seen it all, you know, and GCW, I'm going to give you a little backline story is when I was locked up in prison, my main focus was to bring back deathmatch wrestling to where it belongs. Cause I feel like it's just another style of wrestling, like every other style of wrestling there is. And I wanted to bring it back. And we opened GCW and, you know, slowly but sure, we built that thing up to now with that, we have the best deathmatch wrestlers on the world that come to GCW. So I'm proud of that. But I get why people think it's garbage wrestling and everything, because there's guys out there doing garbage wrestling, doing garbage shit, just like regular wrestling. There's garbage regular wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? But for the real guys who fucking love deathmatch wrestling and follow it and understand it, that they see that these guys can fucking go and wrestle and also, but they choose to like to have weapons in their match. They choose to have paints of glass and light tubes and whatever else they come up with, you know, but they also can go in there and have a regular wrestling match. So, you know, I'm very proud of what I built with GCW and we're just going to keep going, man. You know, we're on fire right now. I just had with John Moxley was just incredible. You know, I kind of fell out of love with wrestling for a little bit. So I took some time off for a year. But that year I needed it because I sat and watched them young, talented wrestlers learn how to wrestle and bust their ass each and every night. Because, you know, GCW travels everywhere. We're running shows every weekend mostly. And to get to sit back and watch them guys, it inspired me to get back to fucking doing what I love, and that's pro wrestling, and get back in the gym, and get back to where I need to be. And now I love it. And I just, I just want to say a shout out to all the young talent, all the veterans in the GCW locker room that motivated me to get back to the top notch where I, you know, where I belong.
Nick, I'm very curious to hear from you now that, you know, I want to backtrack a little bit. You have like GCW, like your name has exploded exponentially in the last 2-3 years, ever since like, you know, COVID when you guys started running a bunch of shows. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear when you were a young Nick Gage and like your first time experiencing a dead match and what got you so into becoming a deathmatch wrestler?
What got me into deathmatch wrestling was watching the Cactus Jack and Terry Funk match. Then back in the day, we used to, I'm going to sound old, but we used to do tape trading. So guys would trade tapes, and I would pick up tapes and give him a tape. Well, they gave me a tape of Japanese deathmatch wrestling. And I seen the Terry Funk and Cactus Jack, because I was familiar with them from the States. And I watched their match, and I loved it. And then I started following deathmatch wrestling. Then I started doing it in the backyard. We had like a backyard, like we really ran real shows where we had fans that came and stuff like that. And then I was blessed by, as soon as I got in the game, I literally was probably 18, 19 years old. And I went to Japan for 2 years straight. Yeah. And learned my craft and learn how to wrestle deathmatch style over there. So I was blessed. So that's how I fell in love with it. But I'm going to keep it real. I love deathmatch wrestling, but my favorite wrestling is like catch style wrestling, hard hitting wrestling, Japanese style wrestling. That's my favorite style of wrestling, you know, but I'm just so good at deathmatch wrestling. So I just stay what I'm fucking good at. So
that's why you're the king of it, man.
That's pretty much it, Rosa.
You know, we've been explaining on the show this morning, Nick, about how deathmatch wrestling, not only the wrestlers, but the fans are almost like a community, right? You know, we just had Damian Abraham, who says hello, by the way. And, you know, Damian Abraham respects and loves you. We got Kevin Gill, who's going to join us later on the show as well.
Oh, gee.
And then you have the fans, the way they talk about it. They don't talk about it like, all right, here's this wrestler I admire that's way up here. It's almost like you're all like one, and it's a community. Do you feel the same way, Nick?
Yeah. I got the MDK gang. It's everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, it's MDK all fucking day. I wanted to connect with my fans when I got out, so I figure I would call instead of just calling them fans. Or something like that. I called them my gang and MDK gang, and we're all as one. You know what I mean? Because I couldn't get through these matches without having them chant MDK or Nick fucking Gage. They give me the energy. They give me the inspiration to go out there and bust my ass on year 23 now.
Wow.
And I still feel great. I still feel like I can go another. I don't know how long, man. My body is very good to me. So I'm just blessed. Yeah, it's a community. I want to give a shout out to my general, Jay Finn. He's always got my back since day one. I just want to give him a shout out.
I love it. And you mentioned that match with Moxley. And Moxley is one of the most popular wrestlers in the world right now. And I think a big reason why he wanted to go to AEW, because then he would have the freedom to do some of the things that he's been doing, especially with you, Nick. And like, so when you see somebody like a Jon Moxley, somebody who came from the world of the WWE, obviously Moxley's comes, you know, before WWE and the stuff that he did with Dragon Gate and Evolve and things like that. But when you see like a mainstream superstar step into your world, how do you feel? Like, do you feel like, all right, this guy, I have the respect for this guy because he wants to try it? Or how do you feel about certain people that want to step into the world of deathmatch wrestling from the outside?
So we'll start with John. I just love John because he was the person when he left, when he came back, same guy. So like, you know, we were cool. We were friends and he was just the same guy, man. And he has a beautiful family. You know, I text him all the time and we talk and I give love to his family. Now there's some guys who want to come into deathmatch wrestling and just do one match to try to get over. You know what I mean? Some guys just want to get over because deathmatch could be popular. Oh, I did a deathmatch and get over, you know? And then there's some guys like Cole Radrick who just started stepping into deathmatch wrestling. Now he loves it and he does it all the time, but also he can also wrestle. You know, it's a 50-50, you know what I mean? I do feel disrespected when some guys just come in for one match, and like Matt Cardone comes in for one match and then he's done, you know? Like, that's kind of pussy shit, you know? But I did fuck his ass up, man.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I wanted him a bloody mess. I wanted him to make sure that he never wants to step in the ring with me again. And I think I did that. And I, the best thing I did, the most funniest thing I did was crash their fucking wedding. I had the blast. That was one of the favorite moments of my career. I just loved it. I carved him up. I made him a bloody mess. His wife is sitting there looking like she don't know what's going on. I kicked their fucking shit over. Maven ran. I thought Maven was going to go do something. Maven was a pussy and ran to the locker room. I couldn't believe it. But Maven's a good guy. That's why.
No, Maven's a good dude. Friends, I love man. Maven.
Yeah, yeah, but if you guys haven't, if you guys haven't seen what he's talking about, there is a, there was a lot of gifts after the match when you face him and he won the championship. The audience went absolutely insane. I was watching that, and there was so much trash. Any objects they could find, they threw it at the ring. This is the first time in a long time where I see the fans furious. They were ready to riot.
Yes, and that was no setup. There was no guy in the crowd throwing one thing to set up so everybody could throw it. That was true passion from the fans that were pissed off, and they threw everything in the ring. And I was in the ring, too, taking it, you know? And, it was just, it was crazy. But, you know, I do it for the fans, and they know I love them, and they know that's why I do this shit. It's because of them.
Nick, you've accomplished a lot in your career. I'm sorry.
Thank you, man.
Please. No, you've accomplished a lot. Like, what? But listen, Nick, you have me. You know, I'm a 51-year-old man that grew up watching pro wrestling, and you've grabbed my attention. You've made me want to watch GCW. You've made me want to watch more deathmatch wrestling. When Thunder and I had the conversation about doing this show today, the first person Thunder said, she goes, "We cannot have this show unless Nick Gage is a guest on this show." Like, so when you think about, you know, I'm sure you're called the Godfather, you're called the King, you're called the Deathmatch God at some times. Like,
I'm
what
the
do you...
God of this shit. That's what I am. The God of this shit. That shit means Deathmatch Wrestling.
I'm giving you your flowers. There is a host on this show, Bully Ray. You know, that's a part of our show. And I know he's, you know, the things that he's accomplished in ECW, but, you know, he does declare himself the Deathmatch God because he beat Onita at the ECW arena. Is that somebody you would love to get into the ring with?
What, Bully Ray?
Yeah.
Or Onita. Oh, Bully Ray?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not right now. I got a couple people I want to get in the ring with. I want to get in the ring with some of the younger talent, man. Some of the guys are going hard right now. Like Drew Parker, like Ciclope, like Miyota. I want to get in the ring with them guys. And they're going to make sure that I can still fucking do this. You know what I mean? These are the guys I want to wrestle in GCW. I'm a fighting champion. And I want to make sure I'm a fighting champion. So I want to put my belt up there on the line. No disrespect to Bully Ray, because you guys know that I love Bully Ray. I can't even call him Bully Ray. He's Bubba Ray to me. And I have so much respect for that guy because he did so much for this business. Him and Devon are my favorite tag team of all time. If it wasn't for them and the whole ECW group, I would probably be in a warehouse doing some bullshit work. But because of them and ECW, I found a wrestling school and I trained to be a wrestler, and I've been wrestling my whole entire life. So I've been doing my passion my whole life, and I owe it to ECW and I owe it to Bubba Ray. I know he called me a pussy and all that shit, but you know, words don't bother me, man, you know? You know, if words bother me, and then I would care about all them scumbag fans who write all that crappy messages on the message boards. But when they see me, they don't do shit. You know what I mean? What I mean, Thunder?
Keeping it real right here, baby.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
All them guys writing that shit. And then they don't say shit. They're like, "Oh, Gage, you're the man. I haven't found one guy come up to me and say some bullshit. Not one person since I've been doing this. And I offer them on. Hey, you can see me anytime and say that shit to my face. Then we're going to have a conversation and it's going to lead somewhere, you know? But as far as Bubba Ray, I don't know. Time will tell, man. Maybe we will set up a match. You know, I'm not a promoter. I'm a wrestler. You know, that's the promoter's job. I'm a wrestler. I love to be a wrestler. I don't want to be a promoter. I don't want to do any of that. I like commentating. I like doing that. And I like to fucking wrestle. That's my two favorite things.
This is Adam Schein, host of the Adam Schein Podcast. Here to tell you, you can listen to my podcast all year round. I'll give you my NFL picks against the spread, give you fantasy advice all season long, while being joined by the best guests in all of sports. He's Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
This is what I expect. You know, I expect to play well every year.
We release episodes of the Adam Schein Podcast every week. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
The Adam Schein Podcast.
Ultra talented Kevin Gill joins us here on Busted Open. Kevin, what's up, brother?
What up, though? And what is truly good, though, to the entire Busted Out Nation? Special shout out to super producer Gavity, as well as our good friend Thunder Rosa, and of course, the iconic Dave LaGreca.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that, brother. And man, I had to get you on because you've become, you know, quite the voice of, like, I think a new era, new age of pro wrestling, the work that you do with GCW. And I love your style because it's like an I don't give a fuck style, which I really appreciate. Like, that's like what you bring. And it's more than just what you say. It's an attitude that you bring. Do you feel the same way, Kevin?
I couldn't agree more, Dave. And, you know, I've been tuned in all morning. I got up extra hella early here on the West Coast to enjoy the whole show. And I loved what both my friend Damian Abraham and my brother Nick Gage were talking about, in that there is this sense of community. There is this sense of almost like underground music. I come from the same music scene that Damian does, just the New York City version of it. And it's just amazing to me to see that convergence, if you will. And I give a fuck about everything that matters, but I don't give a fuck about preconceived notions and ignorance and prejudgment, if that makes sense.
I mean, you still live in the Bay Area, right?
At this moment, I do. But Thunder, later this month, I will become once again a resident of Queens, New York. Shout it from the rooftops for booking inquiries.
So, well, let's be honest. When you move to a place as progressive as it is in the Bay Area or living in New York, that makes your mindset a little bit more open to things that are, you know, against the grain or like that challenge the status quo. Tell us more about your upbringing and how that made you or influenced you in the way that you see professional wrestling and now what you're doing, you know, commentating dead matches.
100% Thunder. And that's why you're such a great broadcaster as well as a in-ring talent. But yeah, I'm so proud to be from Queens, New York. Still to this day, the most culturally diverse city area concentration on this continent. It's all people from all nations together, living and learning and all that stuff in a very diverse place. So I love that. But within that diversity comes creativity and arts. That's where hip hop comes from. That's where hardcore music comes from. And for me, growing up in the Mecca of wrestling at that time, like Dave LaGreca did, Madison Square Garden, the wrestling magazines, all these things were larger than life. You know, wrestling will get covered on the local news. So you would always get exposed to it, see it, and be enamored by it. So for me, I came up in the hardcore music and punk rock scene, which taught you about, you know, doing it yourself and, you know, building things with your friends and kind of doing it your way and not necessarily going the corporate route and whatever. So to me, all that stuff kind of flowed perfectly into wrestling because it's so many of the same ideals. It's so many of the same people. Not that some people are lost, but some people are just seeking more. Some people want to belong. They want to be a part of something. And wrestling, just like underground music, are something that people can step up and be a part of a scene and feel that camaraderie and community.
You know, you mentioned preconceived notions, and I always thought that preconceived notions is the enemy of creativity and progress. What's the preconceived notions about like deathmatch wrestling that maybe fans who have never experienced or ever watched need to understand?
Sure. Well, I mean, the number one preconceived notion about deathmatch wrestling is that the wrestlers don't know how to wrestle and that anyone can do what they do. And I mean, those two things couldn't be further from the truth. I think to really understand deathmatch wrestling, it's important to look at the history of deathmatch wrestling. Like, where does this come from? And obviously different scholars or historians will say different things. To me, I go back to the 60s to Dory Funk Jr. and Terry Funk's father, Dory Funk, doing, you know, multiple hour Texas death matches. You could fast forward to the 80s to when you saw Abdul the Butcher and Bruiser Brody and all these people doing blood and super violence in Puerto Rico. 30 years after his father was doing it, Terry Funk and Mick Foley captured the world's attention with their King of the Death Match performance in Japan. That was in 95. But even before that, then you had Onita in 89 with FMW in Japan, yeah. Which I think really kind of put, that's where everyone who talks about tape trading, everyone who talks about all these, the stuff, this is what they were watching. They were watching FMW. They were watching the King of the Death Matches, and it's just all an evolution. And then today you have Nick Gage, the King of the Death Match. The lineage of death match wrestling goes from Dory Funk to Cactus Jack to Nick Gage. You know what I mean? It's an amazing, diverse portfolio. And now you have these incredible women performers, like Sawyer Wreck, for example. It knows no gender. It knows no boundary. And I think the misconceptions, like you said, are just misunderstandings. This isn't lesser than wrestling, in a sense. The performers are not less talented. They're more dedicated, they're more committed, and they're more in touch directly with their art, and they'll bleed for their art, and they'll do it on a nightly basis.
So for you, what is the moment that define you and say, okay, I'm into this like big time? I just asked Nick Gage what was his moment for him, and in wrestling it's all about moments. What was the moment for you?
I think for me it was the same as Nick Gage. It was 1995-ish, getting to see on tape the King of the Deathmatch tournament from Japan. And like Nick said, I already knew about Terry Funk. I already knew about Cactus Jack. And I had heard in the wrestling magazines about explosions and barbed wire and all this stuff. But, oh my God, Alexa, shut up.
How many
it's like,
times
it's one
I
thing
do
to say good morning,
but
don't read me a book. I was trying to wait her out there, but sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No, you're talking
you
about that.
Terry Funk.
Yeah, the King of Death tournament and Cactus Jack and Terry Funk.
And to be honest, it was a double whammy because not just when I saw that King of the Death match tournament on tape, at first I didn't see the original version without commentary. I saw the Insane Clown Posse version called Stranglemania with ICP doing commentary on it. And in a way, they're trailblazers of the quote unquote, do not give a fuck commentary style, especially on Stranglemania. So both the commentary stylings and the violence completely captured my attention. And I was so into hardcore music at the time, but conventional wrestling wasn't as appealing to me. It was too cartoony. So that wrestling, that was 95. That then easily ushered me into 1996. I heard about ECW and I started going to every ECW arena show. So it was that stuff that brought me back to wrestling and connected me further with the visceral performances and the groundbreaking performers that deliver them.
You know, Kevin, we talked a little bit earlier on in the show about that GCW card in New York, you know, at the Hammerstein, your great work. And it was so great seeing you with like a Lenny Leonard, because Lenny Leonard's the most, you know, tightened up professional broadcaster that there is in wrestling. And then there's you dropping F-bombs and mother F-bombs. Like, what was that experience for you? Here you are in a legendary building, huge crowd, pay-per-view, GCW. This is such a great opportunity. What was that night like for you?
It was a dream come true. First of all, shout out to Lenny Leonard and Dave Prazak, two of the best commentators I've ever worked with. Stellar human beings, stellar talents. And the fact that neither of them is making a lucrative seven-figure income from wrestling is a travesty, but I digress. The night at Hammerstein Ballroom was incredible to me. The the build. It's the rise of the underdog. You know, it's the little engine that could. It's this little independent wrestling company called Game Changer Wrestling that built their brand and built, put their foot down, drew a line and said, you know, we're going to do it our way. And to rise from very humble beginnings to setting an attendance record at Hammerstein. Hammerstein's a venue I got to see many ECW events at in the glory days. I got to see the ECW reunion there. So yeah, just that feeling, that energy, that vibe. And to touch on something you said, and this is a true story. So I run the Game Changer Wrestling Patreon, and I had to go, we let the supporters in first. They get early entrance to the shows. So I went outside to make sure the patrons would get in first at Hammerstein. And one of the fans pulled me aside and they're like, KG, I hate to put you on the spot, but I have to ask you about a rumor. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, I heard that because this is on pay-per-view, you aren't able to do commentary the way you normally do in GCW. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I am going to watch this when I get home. Please, brother, please. Are you going to say it like you always say it? And he starts, you know, rattling off all these expletives. And I'm like, yeah, bro. I'm like, whatever rumors you've heard, no one said shit to me. Like, I have no intention of altering. Of course, I can alter my style. You know what I mean? Whatever's needed. Yeah. It's made to order. But it just felt like honored, just an honor, a thrill, a privilege, and just to be a part of that. You know what I mean? I've been a part of GCW since the first spring break. So it's been a hell of a run.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream the podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.